You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Third round of the FA Cup. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, where we're going to dissect the televised games and look at the old Premier League ties as well. Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined by the two staples of the Punt Podcast, Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin, on the line to preview these matches. First of all, a warm welcome to you, Derek McGovern.
Hi lads, hope all well, happy new year and all that. Or did we say all that nonsense on Monday? I can't remember now.
I think we've done all that, Derek.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, I nearly want for next year then.
How are you, sir? Are you well?
Yes, very well, very well. Looking forward to the FA Cup this weekend. Yes, we always do, don't we?
Tom, how are you?
I'm very good. I just want to place on record, ahead of a weekend of games in which we're going to be discussing squad rotation and team selection, that the management at William Hill have kept their strongest team for the FA Cup for the Punt Podcast. It's either that or we're all getting flogged in the January transfer window. I'm not sure yet.
You've been in here numerous times, Tom. You know how weak the bench is. I think that's the point.
Poorly, come on, the poor man.
Let's get stuck in, though. It starts tonight, actually, with West Ham versus Manchester City. 7:55 kickoff. West Ham 9-2 to win the game. The draw is in the market at 16-5, with Manchester City 8-13. Couple of enhanced odds offers. There's six of them on the website. Man City to win by two or more was 8-5. That's been boosted to 7-4. And if you think Andy Carroll is going to score and West Ham are going to win, that was 13-2. It's now 8-1. Derek, we've got to start by chatting about the refereeing performance, I think, when the other Manchester club visited the London Stadium on Monday night. It wasn't good. Mike Dean sent Sofyan Feghouli off for what he thought was a two-footed lunge. And then Zlatan Ibrahimovic was about 2 miles offside, and they flagged him on, and he scored to make it 2-0 in that game. So refereeing decisions cost them, and Dean was pilloried in the press subsequently.
Well, he's been pilloried by everybody, hasn't he, Dean? And a number of referees have. I mean, there's a few I can think of. At the moment, they'll remain fatherless, whose decisions have been very dodgy. But I don't know. On the one hand, you want to defend referees, don't you? Because you know what an impossible job they have. Even after like 100 replays sometimes, you can't tell, you know, whether they were right or wrong. But it seems to me that the standard is dropping, and you know the West Ham definitely had cause for complaint over the weekend, and I think we all have cause for complaint this season. I mean, after some of the results, money's so tight for me that the only thing I have put aside now is all thoughts of retirement. this has been one shocking season, and I'm hoping that the FA Cup might bring a change of look. And you know what? I'm looking at this fixture, the West Ham City one. You know, you get an instinct after years of punting, and my instincts scream West Ham here at 9-2. Yep. Something is not right at City. I know they've had a couple of, you know, I know the last result was a decent one, 10 men against Burnley and all that, but the way they're playing, the body language from the manager, the things he's come out with this week, something is not right at City. And you're asking me to back him at 4-6 to win at West Ham, when West Ham have shown a bit of an upturn in performances. Okay, the last two results haven't gone their way, but the performances have definitely upped. No way would I be back in City here. I think that's a shocking bet. And let's not forget that, you know, for all the top six clubs now, a top four place is up for grabs for all of them, isn't it? Most of them are in Europe, apart from Chelsea and Liverpool. Bigger fish to fry, massively bigger fish to fry. And you've got Guardiola coming over. I'm sure he's not interested in the romance of the FA Cup. Everything screams West Ham for me.
West Ham 9-2 for Derek. Tom, Derek mentioned Guardiola there, and maybe his intentions will be on the Premier League and the Champions League in the upcoming weeks. And I didn't think the interview, obviously a lot of people saying that he lacked a bit of class in his interview with BBC and Sky Sports after that Burnley game, but he was asked an impossible question, because if he starts commenting on refereeing performances, he gets fined, and I didn't think it was as bad as people made out.
Not at all. And I think what you're finding now more and more is it's almost like an unspoken competition, I think, amongst a lot of reporters in the Premier League, is to try and get managers to bite. You know, he wasn't happy with the performance. He's generally not happy. His body language doesn't scream of somebody who's settled. Things he said, as Derek said this week in other interviews, are very, very strange. And it's causing a lot of problems, I think, at Man City, probably at, you know, the level above Guardiola even. They're probably thinking, well, we expected a little bit better here. But whether he underestimated the job, I'm not too sure. Whether he's underestimated the treatment you get as a manager in the Premier League from the media, because it's much more ruthless. I know, you know, Barcelona and you know, the focus is huge there and at Bayern Munich, but he had relative success. He had huge success, you know, at both clubs. So he got a little bit of stick at Bayern Munich, but this is completely different. And, you know, we're almost a bit in this country, I think, thinking that, well, Guardiola, he's been so great, but we're so special in this country. Our league is so different that he's almost doomed to fail. Well, he's doomed to fail at the moment because his squad isn't good enough. And Man City's, however many changes he makes, and even if Aguero plays tonight, and this is going to be a theme throughout all these games, is what teams are going to be selected. Man City's side should still beat this West Ham team, even with four or five changes. You know, they've still got Yaya Toure, who's basically had one performance and everyone raved about him being back. They've got Aguero. West Ham are missing a few players. I mean, Kiate, Ayew, you know, they're off on the African Cup of Nations duty. I mean, West Ham, I'm not seeing a huge amount there, but what I am seeing in West Ham's favour is two players that are going to cause Man City big problems. Mikel Antonio and Andy Carroll. If both of those guys play, Man City are awful at the back. They're conceding goals. I don't need to go over their goal-scoring record. But the fact is they've kept two clean sheets in 13. And I think aerial threats are something that the Man City players, not one person can deal with. The goalkeeper's hopeless. And I think West Ham will play this very simple. They'll get balls into the box. So I can definitely see an argument for West Ham, but I'm looking at goal-scorers here. I think Mikel Antonio, nearly every time I watch West Ham, he has a chance. He's the top scorer. And, you know, if he gets an opportunity against Man City, which he will, he's 4-1 to be the first home goal scorer. The anytime market, he's 5-2, and he's 11-1 to open the scoring in the game. And that's where my money will be heading. Him and Andy Carroll, I think, will be the key for West Ham winning this game.
Look at the goal scorers. Mikel Antonio is, as Tom said, 4-1 to be first West Ham scorer, 5-2 to score anytime in the match. On to Manchester United versus Reading, which is a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, and Manchester United are 1-4 to win the game. The draw 11-2, Reading 10-1. The enhanced odds: Marcus Rashford to score and Manchester United to win was 10-11, now 11-10, and Gareth McCleary to score and Reading to win was 11-2. That's now 7-1. Tom, when we spoke last weekend prior to the Premier League fixtures, the first thing you said, this was off air, so it's going to annoy the listeners now, but I'll say it anyway, I was back Reading to win at Bristol City. And I must admit, at half-time in that match, your name was mud, Tom, because they were 2-0 down, but they eventually came back and won that game 3-2, and the third in the Championship now, Reading.
Yeah, you know, and you weren't the only people I was telling that to over the course of the weekend before that game. And the amount of text messages I had at half-time, I've never been so popular. Honestly, what on earth are you on about? But look, Reading are a good side. And that actually booked a bit of a trend for them in terms of going behind and being able to come back. Reading are a side, and I'd seen them in the flesh a few weeks back, and they want possession of the ball. They don't have the greatest team in the Championship in terms of individuals. They don't actually have many big names in the team. But what Jaap Stam has done, and you can see that, you know, the Dutch influence there, is they just play possession football. So what they've been very good at in the Championship is up to the 60-70% mark of possession. You know, they like to keep it at the back and they wait for teams to press and then they pop them off. And that's been the big secret to their success. But they're starting to get found out, you know, and I think there is a way of playing against them that you can obviously get the better of them. And teams have managed to do that. And the worrying trend for Reading is when they lose in the Championship, they can lose big. Take that Bristol game out of it, because that was a Bristol side that had been in bad form and just didn't know what to do with a 2-0 lead. I look more interestingly at Reading's recent away games. 4-1 defeat at Brentford and a 5-0 at Fulham. Now, when they go behind Reading, that's where they're in big problems. And they're going up against the Manchester United side, who at home have only lost to Man City. They've won 9. They've drawn 4 matches at home. They've got Hull in the League Cup as well. And you wonder about Mourinho and his approach to this one, because they are right in the hunt, not only for the top four, but maybe even the title. You know, they're certainly not out of it. And then they've got these cup matches coming up this week. And, you know, I just wonder about Manchester United. Is it silverware at all costs? You know, are they going to just go for it, you know, regardless? I don't think he's in a position where he's going to make loads and loads of changes. And even if he plays somebody like Rashford up front, which I think there's an opportunity of that happening, then there's going to be far too much for this Reading side. I know there's the romantic element at Jaap Stam, going back to Manchester United and all of that. But for me, ultimately, this game is going to be one that Reading are going to go behind, because they will not have faced the side of this quality yet this season. So that's the problem for them. So can I see Reading scoring a goal? No, because I don't see them changing the weather. I don't think you can go to Manchester United and expect to have all the possession. So that's why I think this will be a very comfortable Manchester United victory. And I would actually look at them on the handicap -2 at 6-4. And I base that on when Reading have gone behind away from home, they have collapsed. And I think they'll do the same thing at Manchester United. But they're a very good side.
So Alex Ferguson reckons, Derek, that that was his biggest mistake in his time at Manchester United, letting Yap Stam go so early in his career. Yap Stam making his return to Old Trafford, as Tom mentioned. And Manchester United are bound to make changes here. I don't think Zlatan Ibrahimovic will play, for instance. He's 35 years old. He's played 3 games in 8 days. So there are going to be changes made, but there is strength in depth there.
Well, yeah, obviously there is. And this is why, you know, all this talk, teams moan about a winter break because of the festive fixture overload. It makes me sick because they buy player after player, and the money they've got, they should have enough players, you know, to make changes without too badly weakening the team. And it does my head. And, you know, what the punters want, we want football over Christmas. No, let's take it away from them. Credit the poor players, have a rest. Oh, diddums. Don't make me sick. I don't know what to think about this game. I really don't, because, you know, what Tom says about Reading, I've seen them about twice this season, and each time I thought, that's a tidy side. They remind me of a Crystal Palace team about 8 seasons ago when I saw them in the Championship, and they were only mid-table, and I watched them one day and I thought, my God, they're a good side. And I kept backing them after that, and I made a good few, Bob. But what you probably know more about than me, Tom, and what you just said about when they fall behind, that's a bit of a worry, because I started this broadcast thinking, I'm going to go for Reading here on the handicap, but you've picked holes in my argument, and I really don't know which way to turn now. You know, obviously, no, I'm not telling anybody anything new by saying you've got to look at the teams before you have a serious bet. But even then, I wouldn't have a serious bet on this one, because I just don't know Man United's motivation. I'm not even sure of Reading's motivation. The manager will be motivated, obviously, going back to Old Trafford. But the players now, all of a sudden, have got a squeak at the top of that Championship. You know, so will they concentrate more on that than the FA Cup? They shouldn't, but they might do. United have got the League Cup semi-final coming up. They're still in Europe. All of a sudden, they're back in the outskirts of the title race as well. Where's the FA Cup for them? I don't know what to think about this. I really don't. You know what? I'm going to go back with my instincts and go for Reading. I'm going to go right against Tom here and go for Reading with a 2-goal start at 6-5.
If you're looking for a goal scorer, by the way, in this match, Juan Mata might be the player at 7-5. He has occasionally been marginalised by Jose Mourinho, but his cup record is pretty strong. He's scored in 3 consecutive FA Cup games for Manchester United, and of course scored the opening goal against West Ham. 7-5, Juan Mata to score any time in this match. Derek, you're the only man who can have holes picked in his argument before he's actually made it as well.
There's a man lacking in confidence, isn't it?
Preston versus Arsenal is up next in the FA Cup third round. Saturday, 5:30. Preston 13-2 to win the game. The draw 18-5. Arsenal in the betting at 4-9. Jordan Hugill to score, and Preston to win was 12-1, now 16-1. Lucas Perez to score, and Arsenal to win was 5-4, now in the betting at 6-4. Preston North End engulfed in mid-table obscurity in the Championship, and Arsenal have an exceptional record in ties like this in the FA Cup. They've lost just one of their last 36 ties against lower league opposition in this competition, and they're 4-9 to go to Preston and win. Same old Arsenal, Derek. 3-3 draw against Bournemouth, in which they came from 3-0 down. And the interviewer afterwards asked, was this a statement by Arsenal coming from 3 goals down against 10 men at Bournemouth to pick up a point in the Premier League? I don't think it was, Derek.
Well, no, if that was any other club, they'd probably been grilled. But it's Arsenal, and they get away with murder. They get away with murder, and that was a disgrace. And the most disgraceful aspect of it was Giroud's celebration when, you know, had he stopped fanning around on the touchline doing his fairy dance. You know, they might have had a bit more time to get a fourth goal. I hate fixtures like this, because you look for reasons to oppose Arsenal, because I always do, but I can't find any. And then you look, oh, God, it's got to be Arsenal. But they're 4-9, and you know they're going to play an understrength team. I'm finding this a really difficult fix to get a grip on. Arsenal, what you just said on the outset there, Dave, you're right. Going back years, you know, when Arsenal used to field a team of kids in the Carling Cup or whatever it was then, and you'd players you'd never heard of. And they'd beat teams like Preston 4 or 5 nil, you know, without breaking sweat. And then, next day in the papers, you'd read these players are going to be the future of Arsenal. And then all of a sudden, they farmed out to Blackburn and Yeovil and places like that. Never heard of again. Don't know what to think. I'll have to go. Because of what that record you said about Arsenal, they don't make mistakes in games like this. That's the thing. And, you know, it's the FA Cup, in my view, has kept Arsene Wenger in a job for Arsenal, because his record, other than that, has been an absolute disgrace for over a decade. And yet, he's sitting there in the hot seat at the Emirates. Can't believe it. For tonight, I'll have to go for Arsenal, reluctantly.
There are some attractive prices in the goal scorer markets. If Arsenal, you've got to see which team Arsenal field here, Tom, but Olivier Giroud's 10-11 to score any time. If he starts in this game, obviously his recent record is pretty strong, and he's found it difficult to break into the starting 11 with regularity for Arsenal this season under Wenger, but he has been getting a bit of game time recently. And I know Derek's made mention of him and he's in his fairy dance, I think you said, Derek. It only lasted 12 seconds. It wasn't the sole reason that Arsenal failed to win that
football match. No, it might not have been the timing of it. I just think it was the message it sent out.
Okay.
This is a team that should have been professional and being interested in only getting that fourth goal. But when you see that, you know, what message does it send out?
Alexis Sanchez was clearly annoyed with that as well, wasn't he, Tom?
Yeah, he was. And, you know, we're just repeating ourselves, aren't we, when it comes to Arsenal? You know, and Arsene Wenger now is a man who's almost a master at spin. You know, he's like a political spin doctor now. You know, and regardless of what happens, I mean, even take the January transfer window, they've signed a player from non-league, and I bet that will probably be it. And you wonder whether Wenger sat back laughing at the Arsenal fans and thinking, well, you know, we've got all this money in the bank. I know January's a tough window, but they clearly, you know, to send a statement out just to give themselves a bit of a boost, they still need two or three players in certain areas, you know, with the injury record they have and everything else. And, you know, I just look at now at that sort of race at the top, and I think they're showing a lot of weakness. And they've shown a lot of weakness away from home. You know, I look at Arsenal and I think they're always a bold teams to score project for me. You know, they're defensively, although they've even improved over last year, they still always look like they're going to concede a goal. They've barely kept any clean sheets away from home. They did against Forest in the Cup. They did against Burnley, and I think they did against Leicester right at the beginning of the season, but that is it, and they've conceded a lot of goals away from home. Obviously, in this tie, they're playing against a team from the division below. As you quite rightly say, they've pressed a banging mid-table, but actually overachieving this season. You know, when you compare Simon Grayson's budget with a lot of championship sides, the general consensus is he's doing a very good job. And actually, they were very unlucky not to beat Sheffield Wednesday the other day. And although they're a bit hit and miss with their form, at home, generally, you know, they give a lot of sides a real tough matches. The kind of venue where if a championship side goes there and get a win, you say that's a really good point. I think this is a bold team to score. I think Arsenal eventually come through it, but for me to find a little bit of value, I'm going to play Arsenal and both teams to score at 19-10. And obviously Preston are in a position where they will play a strong side. They don't have a big squad. They'll play their strongest team. And if you want a goal scorer for Preston, if you like me think that Arsenal are going to concede a goal, which I think they will, Simon Mackinock is their striker. He's 3-1 any time. He's a Danish player. He's about 6'5", 6'6", and he's exactly the kind of player you can see Arsenal struggling with dealing with. Mm-hmm. And what Preston will do is they'll get the ball into him. He's very good in the air. He's sort of a gangly type, and he's awkward to defend against. And he will be my pick for a goal scorer in this game.
Sunday 1:30, we've got Liverpool versus Plymouth at Anfield. 1-6 Liverpool. The draw 6-1 Plymouth in the betting at 16-1. Ben Woodburn to score and Liverpool to win was 6-4. That's been enhanced to 2-1. Graham Carey to score and Plymouth to win was 28-1. That's now 33-1. Liverpool, Tom, unbeaten at home in the league this season. They haven't actually conceded a goal at Anfield in this competition since March 2012. Heavy odds on, 1-6 to beat Plymouth.
Yeah, and you know they're up against, again, you know, you look at the team that they're up against, and they're a team that have been in great form. Second in the table at the moment in League Two, chasing Doncaster, but importantly for them in those automatic places, you know, in terms of getting promotion back to League One. And they've got a bit of a cushion themselves over Portsmouth in fourth spot. So, you know, Plymouth are in a good way in the league. So, again, they'll go full strength. It'll be a reward, you know, for their players to get the opportunity to play Liverpool. But this is too big a gap. You know, if Plymouth were in League One, obviously the Championship, maybe if it was at their place, I'd look at them causing Liverpool a couple of problems. But I can't see it. And I'm struggling to make a case. You know, you want to make a case for Plymouth, you know, particularly at the price and find some value there, but it's very difficult. I mentioned that, you know, last week on the last podcast that, you know, Liverpool are the kind of side when they play against inferior opposition. I know they didn't do it against Sunderland like we thought, like I thought, but they're going to score a lot of goals in this one. There's no question. They've scored at least 3 goals in 5 of their 11 home games. And Ben Woodburn, you mentioned there, is part of the enhanced odds. Now, they're trying to play him down. You know, I was at Anfield the other month for the League Cup tie against Liverpool, and he played. He came off the bench and scored. And they're trying to do this dance around Woodburn because he is that good. And the buzz around Anfield that I was getting from people who've watched the youth teams regularly, they think he is that impressive. But they're trying to almost play him down a little bit. But I think he'll get his opportunity in this one. And I quite like that Ben Woodburn goal, you know, and a Liverpool win at 2-1 because he's a very mature finisher. And I think that's a good bet. But also, I mean, look, you're just gonna have to look at Liverpool and a bag load of goals in this one. You know, if you're looking at handicaps, I think you can easily look at a -3 at 13-5.
And -3, 13-5. Do look at Ben Woodburn. He is 29-20 to score any time, and he is part of that enhanced odds offer as well. Derek, your thoughts?
Well, I disagree with Tom because I know exactly the team Liverpool are going to field. Well, not exactly, but I know it's exactly going to be shown of anybody recognisable because I was at this similar fixture last season. I think it was Blackburn, third or fourth round at Anfield in a miserable day, a miserable Sunday, finished 0-0, probably the worst game I've ever seen. And a load of, that was our home to Blackburn, by the way, and a load of, you know, people you've never heard of playing in the Liverpool first team. And that will happen again. You won't be seeing any big names out on Sunday. No chance. And so it ain't going to be a cakewalk against a side that's flying in League Two. I know there's a lot of divisions between them, but there's not a lot of divisions between Plymouth's first team and Liverpool's second or third team, which is what we'll be seeing at Anfield. They've got a League Cup semi-final coming up on Sunday. So if Klopp needed any further, on Wednesday, if he needed any further reason to rest players, there it is. So the Firminos, the Coutinhos, Lallanas, they won't be playing. Woodburn will probably play, which is why it's a good shout on that call. But I'm going for another player further down the list. Oliver Seyi-Ojo, who in my eyes will definitely play, always look dangerous on the few times I've seen him get a run out, and he's 7-4 to score at any time. This is not going to be a cakewalk for Liverpool.
The last of the televised games this weekend is Tottenham versus Aston Villa at White Hart Lane. This is a 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. And Tottenham are 100-30 on to win the game. The draw 4-1 with Aston Villa in the betting at 10-1. Vincent Janssen to score and Tottenham to win was even money. That's now 6-4. And Ross McCormack to score and Aston Villa to win was 16-1. That's been enhanced to 20-1. Derek, we've seen a couple of incredible performances this season from Spurs. That one against City where they won 2-0 and on Wednesday night against Chelsea, again, ran out 2-0 winners. And I loved what Mauricio Pochettino did in that match. Changed his formation, set up to mirror Chelsea's with 3 at the back, 5 in midfield and 2 up front with the wing-backs. And he just said to his players, I trust you, I know you're better than those lot. And they went out and proved it.
Yeah, they were excellent, absolutely excellent. And you know, before that game, we were talking about, Tottenham have stepped up to the plate on the big tests. You know, the City game you mentioned on that one the other night, that was a big test for them. And they were head and shoulders better than Chelsea. And I know that Dele Alli got all the praise, but the man who stood out for me, the man I've been singing about for about 4 seasons now, Moussa Dembele, I just think he's a sensational player. And when he's on form, he's unstoppable. He looks head and shoulders above any opponent he comes up against. And he was coming up against some top-class opponents there. Sensational performance by him. Whether we'll see the same Tottenham at home to Villa in the FA Cup, I don't know. You know, they're right in the thick of the title race again now, aren't they, Tottenham, after that result? They should beat Villa. Of course they should. But is it a case of after the Lord Mayor's show? What I'm saying is that I want to be more sure of the side before I back him at 1-3, 3-10. And I'm not 100% sure of Tottenham in this fixture. They've had a few ropey performances against teams they should muller. Villa haven't got a prayer at teams now of a playoff spot. And probably, you know, we mentioned Preston banging mid-table mediocrity. Well, Villa only, you know, a little bit better off, a couple of points better off. 10-1, are they worth the bet? They've shown a few times I've seen them this season. They're not the no-hopers that we saw in the Premier League when they were last there. I'm almost tempted to give them a go at 10-1 for a little five, but what I've decided to do instead is go for them on the handicap. I always think it's a decent bet against teams whose commitment is questionable. I'm pretty sure Tottenham's commitment is questionable. It's always worth backing a team at big prices on the handicap. So I'm going to go for Villa with a two-goal star, which is just under the even money mark.
Villa plus two for Derek, 17-20, Aston Villa plus two. Undoubtedly, Mauricio Pochettino, Tom, is going to rest players here. You'll see the likes of Heung-min Son and Harry Winks in the lineup, perhaps, for this game at home against Aston Villa. You'll have seen Aston Villa this season, Tom.
Yes, and saw them, you know, just during the festive week. And, you know, I think there's a lot that Steve Bruce has got to sort out there. He will get it right at Aston Villa, but, you know, the spending spree that they had in the summer, I think if Steve Bruce had been in charge, it would not have been as wild and as random as it seems to be. You know, there's players that they managed to offload. They pulled an absolute blinder getting £6 million for Rudy Castell. I don't know how they've managed to do that. It's incredible business. You know, and then the fullback of Marby as well, they're talking about him £15 million, £20 million. I can't believe it. But, you know, there's a lot of sorting out there to do. And actually, there's a lot of players, I think, that have got the hump at Villa. There are players that Steve Bruce won't play. He's not really interested in. Someone like Ross McCormack, for example, I don't think he'd have signed him. And there's just uncertainty with Villa at the moment. They're not coming to White Hart Lane as a settled, happy outfit. But what they are doing is coming as a side with the kind of personnel they've got in their team who feel they should be playing at Premier League level. You know, there's a lot of so-called big names, at Villa at the moment. And I think they will rise to the occasion to a point. But I think ultimately they're going to struggle scoring goals. You know, away from home, Aston Villa have late, albeit in the Championship, they've struggled. They've only scored one goal in their last four. They've lost three of those matches. And there's something about this side. They haven't been able to roll up their sleeves this season and really grind it out. They haven't lost many games, you know, over the Championship season, but they drew so many under Di Matteo that it's certainly cost them an automatic promotion place, and it's going to make life difficult to get in the playoffs. So, you know, Villa have bigger fish to fry. I think Tottenham, with a change of team, it's never as fluent. That Tottenham side are so well-oiled. You make four or five, six, seven changes, and I think it's difficult to replicate that. So I think what I'm going to play here is Tottenham getting over the line and winning the game, but I'm going to bat them to win an under 2.5 goals. It was a bet that landed quite a bit for Tottenham earlier this season. They're flying now, of course. It would have landed in midweek, but that's the one I'm going to play. Tottenham winning under 2.5 goals. They get the job done, but I don't expect it to be a classic.
Well, that's 12-5 here with William Hill. Tottenham to win and under 2.5. We're going to look at the three non-televised All Premier League ties now, and we start at the Kcom with Hull versus Swansea Saturday, 3:00. Hull are 29-20. To win the game. They draw 11-5 with Swansea in the betting at 17-10. Adama Diomande to score and Hull to win was 3-1, now 4-1. And Boye Bastogne to score and Swansea to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. Hull without Mike Phelan now, and they've won just two of their last 23 FA Cup games against top flight opposition, Hull. That's not a good record. They've drawn five of those and lost 16. Tom, Hull versus Swansea in all Premier League tie that no one will be watching.
No one will be watching. No one really wants. But the only good thing is for both clubs is they've got new managers at the helm. You know, Paul Clement was there and oversaw the victory against Palace for Swansea, which was such a big one. And of course, Marco Silva is in at Hull. I mean, talk about the most random appointment ever for a manager. I mean, we've had a few as well in the Premier League. So, you know, he's in at Hull. The only thing is, it's an opportunity, isn't it, for both of these managers who have massive games ahead of them to assess their squad and have a look at it. Now, you know, if you're looking at the managerial appointments, and Marco Silva might end up being a very inspired choice, and Paul Clement is inexperienced in managing Premier League, but I might think that Paul Clement has probably got the better chance. And actually, just that victory at Palace has given him a glimmer and signs of life at Swansea. But this is a game neither side will want the replay, but sadly I think that's the way it's going to go. You know, Hull are certainly capable of scoring. Swansea have been scoring away from home. They've had a problem getting results on their travels, but they've not had a problem scoring goals. So I can only see this one, you know, ended up petering out into a draw that neither side want. There's not a lot of quality there. There will be changes, but my God, if these two sides make five or six changes, what kind of game are we going to get? I think the draw is a decent price at 11-5 between these two.
11-5, the draw in the game, Hull versus Swansea for Tom. Derek, good shout from you last weekend, backing Swansea to win away at Crystal Palace. I'm actually dominated as well. Great performance. I was cursing you, Derek, because obviously I was on Crystal Palace in that game, and you definitely got one over on me there. Every time you see one of these appointments, like Marco Silva, for instance, Tom said, the most random appointment. When have they ever worked for these sides that are struggling and fighting for their lives in the Premier League? I can't remember many.
No, exactly. You can understand the appointments of Clement, you know, for Swansea, because, okay, he hasn't had that much experience in Premier League management, but he's had experience at big teams and he knows the Premier League. The other guy, Marco Silva, it's just absolutely daft. I mean, this is a game who wants it least, isn't it, really? I mean, how can we back sides when we don't know if they're taking the competition seriously? Yeah. I can't take these two sides seriously, to be honest. I'd have to say Swansea are the more likely winners because that did show us how a big sign of life that result at Palace. And let's not forget that Hull have got this game coming up on, is it Tuesday, the one against Man United? Where's the mileage in for Hull still being in the FA Cup when they've got a massive relegation fight on their hands? And they've got this big game coming up on Tuesday. You know, they'll probably lose that, but you know, at least there's a sense of victory, a sense of glory in the air for them. I just don't see it. I don't see it for them here. Plus, they've got a manager who doesn't know what the. He's never heard of the FA Cup, probably. Whereas Swansea have got Paul Clemens. It's got to be Swansea. Got to be Swansea.
17-10 Swansea for Derek. On to another game with two teams that are fighting for survival in the Premier League. Although Burnley. Have picked up recently, and Sunderland got a good point as well against Liverpool at the Stadium of Light last weekend. Sunderland 5-4 to win this game. The draw 11-5. Burnley 2-1. The enhanced odds: Fabio Barini to score and Sunderland to win. That was 100-30. Now 4-1. Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. Derek, Sunderland benefited from a couple of. Pieces of dodgy defending and Jermaine Defoe beating Simon Mignolet twice from the penalty spot dented Liverpool's title hopes, enhanced Sunderland's chance of survival last weekend.
Yeah. Well, by the way, you just knew when Defoe was stepping up that Mignolet wasn't going to save either penalty. You just knew that. You know, sometimes when you're a fan of a team that's got a penalty against them, you think, yeah, we might just... But you just knew. It had taken 1-10 Defoe to score both of those penalties. That's how certain he was. Well, I was amazed at Sunderland that day, absolutely amazed by them, because I'd suspected, looking at some of their performances, that they'd given up the ghost under David Moyes. I just didn't see a side that was playing for the manager. It shocked me, the effort they put in against Liverpool. It was incredible. And it's turned around every thought I had about them. I was willing to oppose them every week, but I'm not so sure now. 5-4, though, it's a sure price for Sunderland, no doubt about it. Barely a 2-1. It's too big, but they're away from home and they never win away from home. The odds compilers have sent me all kinds of poses here and I don't know how to answer them. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go for Sunderland, even though I shouldn't, because they're in the relegation dogfight and they shouldn't really be able to stay in this competition. But what I saw from them against Liverpool the other day, it staggered me. And if they show that kind of effort against Burnley here, they'll win.
Okay, Sunderland 5-4, the draw 11-5, Burnley in the betting at 2-1. If you're looking for a possible goal scorer here for Burnley, Sam Vokes is 12-5, not been a regular in the starting 11 in the Premier League this season, but might get the nod in the FA Cup, and he's scored three in his last five in the FA Cup for Burnley. Tom, how do you view this match?
Well, I can't see Burnley making loads and loads of changes. You know, they're one squad that are pretty tight, pretty low on numbers. So, you know, I think when you see the Burnley starting 11, it's going to resemble something of a team that you wouldn't be surprised if you saw it sort of put out in a Premier League fixture. And Burnley obviously got the better of Sunderland in some fashion, you know, the other week against Sunderland at Turf Moor. And it was a smashing victory. Whether Sunderland will use that as motivation, I don't know. But I look at Burnley and I think, I know they're not safe yet, but they've got to be starting to think that way. They've got to start to think now like a mid-table Premier League side, because they're a team now that will back themselves at home, which is why the draw comes into their favour. Sean Dyche would definitely take that. You know, I don't think he's a manager who's going to be too worried about the fatigue of the players or the fixtures or anything else like that. I think he'll know if he gets the draw, he's as good as through to the fourth round. So the draw is screaming out at me, but I don't think either side, especially when sides are in a relegation battle, or they're contesting something in the league, I don't think they want that replay. They don't want it. And I think they'll kind of go for it in a sense here. And you know, maybe send out a little statement. You know, if someone get a good victory against them, you know, it might just reverberate a little bit around that bottom end of the Premier League. But I don't know how much onus there will be on either manager. I just think Burnley might think, actually, on our day, if we can get, you know, a couple of home ties in the next couple of rounds, we might be able to kick on. But will it be a cautious safety first thing from Sean Dyche? I think no, until he gets to 40 points. I don't know. Burnley at 2-1 in the outlet, that's where I would head. But you know what I'm going to play? I'm going to play the both score, no draw market. It's a market I haven't touched for a while. And I don't know why, because whenever I look at it in games like this, I think it screams out at me. At 15-8, I do see goals in it. I see it being an open match. And I don't think either side want a replay, so I'm going to play the both score, no draw.
Very good. 15-8, both score, no draw. And we finish at Goodison with Everton versus Leicester. Everton 17-20. The draw 13-5. Leicester in the betting at 3-1. The enhanced odds, Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 9-5, now 2-1. And Jamie Vardy, who is back for this match, him to score and Leicester to win was 11-2. Now 6-1. Tom, seriously impressive performance from Everton against Southampton. Comfortable 3-0 win in that match. And Ross Barkley has played better in the last couple of matches. That late Lukaku goal putting the icing on the cake for Everton. Whereas Middlesbrough versus Leicester on Monday lunchtime was possibly the worst match I've ever seen in the Premier League. I watched the match, I was covering it live on William Hill's in-play radio, and I aged so much. I needed a walking stick to get out of the studio at the end. It was just absolutely abysmal.
We did predict it, though, Dave. We did give the warning that this was a game that neither side were ever going to look like they're going to score in. So that's Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough at West Brom earlier this season. Middlesbrough at home to Leicester. Probably involved in two of the worst Premier League games in history. Because Middlesbrough don't attack, they're a poor side. Now, Leicester, you know, people will look at this tie and say, Leicester away from home, a bit like Burnley at home. You know, you're not going to be backing them because they don't get a result. But Everton, were they great against Southampton, or Southampton in such a bad run? Something's going on at Southampton, which I'm not too sure about. Were they really bad? Because Everton against Hull weren't great when they got that 2-0 draw. Maybe could have won it. They did get that victory at Leicester, and I thought they were impressive there. You know, Leicester had a decent home run, you know, up until that game on Boxing Day, so it was a good result for Everton. So maybe that's in the memory for these two sides. But I think both these teams and both managers will think that this season they are cup sides. Everton aren't going to do anything in the league. Certainly anything of any note, unless they go on a serious run. Leicester, likewise, they're not going down, Leicester, let's be fair. But, you know, they've got the Champions League and they've got the Cups to kind of focus on. So, you know, both these sides, I think, are in that bracket. On their day, they can still beat anybody. I know there's not been a bit of, you know, a load of sort of results to back that up this season, but I think that's how they'll feel. So, potentially, this is a game where, if you're looking at sort of changes to a team, both teams might go for it a little bit here, because I don't think the Everton fans are still won over by Koeman. Not yet, anyway. They're certainly not on his back. But they're not completely happy with the way things have gone. And a little cut run and a good result against Leicester will just appease that a little bit. Likewise, Leicester, you know, there's even been booing from their fans at a few home games. So, you know, I think Leicester with Vardy back will cause Everton problems. I see this being a really good game, actually, with two sides who want to try and get a long way in the cup competition. So I'm going to play goals. I'm not sure about the result. I think Leicester at 3-1. They're a big price for a team that, you know, the way Everton play, I think they can cause some problems because the onus will be on Everton, and I think they might fall into Leicester's hands here because Everton will be expected to win. But I'm going to play goals. I'm not sure about the result here. Over 2.5 at 10-11, but over 3.5 goals at 9-4, I see this one being a good game.
Derek, it is a little bit different from the previous two All Premier League ties we have talked about on this podcast. As Tom said, these two sides will probably put out not full strength sides, but strong sides.
I'm pretty sure Everton will feel a strong side. I'm not so sure about Leicester, because Leicester couldn't get worked up for a Premier League games, before in the run up to Christmas because of the Champions League exertions. And they've got the Champions League coming around again next month. Okay, it's a month away, but surely these are fixtures they can do without the FA Cup. Remember a few years ago when Rafa Benitez, 2005, remember that year Liverpool won a little competition that year? Well, he went out to Burnley in the third round of the FA Cup and Liverpool fans were doing their nut. At the end of that season, they were the Champions League winners. And people like Ranieri, managers like Ranieri noticed those stuff like that. There's no way Liverpool would have won the Champions League that season had they still been in the FA Cup. Mm. I'm not saying Leicester are going to win the Champions League. No way. But, you know, he'll want a decent run in there. So I don't see Leicester playing a strong side here, especially if they're not safe from relegation. I know you said they're not going down, Tom, but if I was a Leicester fan, I'd still have niggling doubts. Everton at 17-20 is a little bit underpriced. I was expecting, to be honest, evens 11-10 here. So I'm going against the grain, but I do fancy them. And Everton, you look at their position in the league, they're not going to trouble the top six. You know, they're in seventh place, God knows how. They're in seventh place. And they're take the top six away, and Everton are probably the best team in the league, despite being underperforming this season. And so they've got a chance, they've got a realistic chance of winning the FA Cup this season, because, the attentions of the clubs above them will surely be elsewhere, well, most of the clubs above them anyway. I like Everton here. I think they're going to win this one. I'm just a little bit worried that I'm taking under the odds at 17-20.
They are 25-1 to win the FA Cup.
Good bet.
Everton.
That's a good bet.
Chelsea 11-2 favourites. Liverpool 6-1. Arsenal 7-1. Man City 7-1. Manchester United 7-1. Tottenham 10-1. Southampton 20s. Everton 25s, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. We don't do the naps when it's not a Premier League weekend. But is there anything else you chaps want to mention? Tom, I'll start with you. From obviously, there's a whole host of matches on the website for the third round of the FA Cup that we've not previewed.
Yeah, there's loads of games. I mean, you know, I obviously look at, you know, possibly at home, but, you know, a team from further down the football pyramid, you know, plenty as a team higher up, and try and weigh up where both sides are at. There's a few matches I pick out. Bolton at home to Crystal Palace. Of course, Bolton flying in League One, won very much in a promotion mix and expect to get promoted. Big Sam going back to his former club. Palace are in a mess. I like them at 12-5. Southampton as well, conceding goals at an alarming rate. Something's not right. Font is a want-away player. Van Dijk, that speculation is going to continue. And I don't fancy Southampton going to a Norwich side who just got a big win over Derby. And Alex Neil, you know, he's under pressure, big pressure still. They've got to keep winning again. There's no chance that he can take this game lightly because their team, they need results. They need to back up games with the results. So I fancy a bit of an upset there. But I've got to go to Monday night, and I think the most likely upset of the weekend, I really do, is Cambridge to beat my team, Leeds United. They're 13-5, Cambridge. They're under Sean Derry, who was a big hero amongst Leeds fans as well when he used to play for the club. They know all about them. Cambridge are in decent nick. 4 wins in a row at home. They're in the mix, of course, for promotion themselves. And they've won. They're unbeaten in the last 5 matches, winning 4 of them. And Leeds have a massive game on Friday night against Derby at Elland Road. It's a huge, huge match to give themselves to try and beat Derby away from the playoff places and strengthen the playoff campaign. So I see Gary Monk making a lot of changes for that game, and I think Cambridge probably have a sniff of an upset. I can see us getting to Monday night and people saying, "Oh, the third round, it hasn't provided too many shocks," and then I can see a big one on Monday night. I don't like saying it, but I think at 13-5, Cambridge are a good bet.
That game is available live on William Hill TV. If you logged into your account, you can watch that one on Monday night here with William Hill if you wish to do so. Derek?
Well, the Bolton Palace game that Tom mentioned, you know what, I wish Palace hadn't lost against Swansea in midweek, because had that not happened, I would have been all over Bolton, because Sam Allardyce is at Palace to keep them up. He doesn't give a monkeys about the FA Cup. I'm sure he's got some sort of big fat bonus lined up if he keeps Palace up. But because they lost against Swansea, he's under pressure all of a sudden. He's come there, you know, with a big fanfare, and nothing's happened, and a big head as well. Nothing's happened. And so I'm not sure whether he can afford another defeat. So that worries me, that. I would have been all over Bolton, so I have reservations about that picture. But what I'm going for is Burton 11-2 at Watford. I'm disappointed in the odds, to be honest. But I looked at these fixtures and thought, I am going to oppose Watford because they are an absolute shambles.
Yeah.
An absolute shambles. And they're to be taken by anybody. And 11-2 Burton, okay, they're not the greatest team in the world. They're struggling, you know, near the lower reaches of the Championship. But this is a big fixture for them. It definitely isn't for Watford. And Watford can't get worked up for big fixtures. They ain't going to be worked up for this. So 11-2 Burton are my back of the weekend.
Chaps, I usually dread the third round of the FA Cup, but I've enjoyed this. Thank you, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in to the Punt Podcast for the third round of the FA Cup. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast too. If you want to bet, go to sports.williamhill.com, click on football and find the FA Cup markets. And myself, Tom and Derek will be back on the Punt Podcast to preview the Premier League next weekend. If you're having a bet on the FA Cup this weekend, good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.